Welcome to the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. We're going to explore ways to sharpen our diagnostic skills, find learning resources, and hear from experts in the automotive field. This episode is brought to you by L1 Automotive Training and Keith Perkins. If you're looking for education on module programming, J2534, EEPROM work, key and immobilizer, electrical diagnostics, or drivability diagnostics, Keith has a website, l1training.com, that's got over 60 hours of training videos on all those subjects and more. When I first started out doing mobile, I utilized Keith's videos on module programming and J2534 in order to get my head wrapped around what I would need for the tooling, the computers, the software setups, you know, what kind of obstacles I would be up against when I'm out there programming modules on cars. And it was a huge benefit to me. And I continue to use the training videos that he has on his website. So I strongly recommend checking out l1training.com. The link is in the show notes. This episode is brought to you by AutoRescueTools.com and Isaac Rodell. If you're looking for scan tools, key cutting equipment, programming laptops, Isaac is the guy. Not only does he have an extensive list of all of those things I mentioned, his support after the purchase is top notch. I bought my Dolphin key cutting tool from Isaac several years back, and he has helped me out every step of the way. Anything that I needed on this thing, I didn't quite understand. If I had an issue with it, I needed something additional. He was easy to get a hold of and helped me out with that. So I highly recommend that you check out his website if you need anything related to keys, scan tools, diagnostic equipment. And again, that's AutoRescueTools.com. The link will be in the show notes. Hey, what's going on, automotive world? Welcome to another episode of the Automotive Diagnostic Podcast. My name is Sean Tipping, and I'll be your host once again for this week's episode. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. You've got just me. I'm going to go through a case study with you. I'm going to be heading down to Australia next couple weeks to do some teaching at the expo and hang out with everybody down there. An amazing opportunity that I am really looking forward to. One of the classes that I'm going to be presenting there is on parasitic draws. I do quite a few of these, and it seems like in the last year, even more than I have in the past. And of course, I've always dealt with these as long as I've been in the automotive field. It's always been a thing as long as there was a battery and something that was supposed to be switched off and it wasn't. In vehicles, there's some type of possible parasitic draw. But man, on vehicles today, they are, I think, more and more complex. I would say fairly common too, right? Like it just seems like there are so many more things that can drain a battery down or reasons why the electrical system can draw on a battery. Anyways, that's part of why I'm doing the class. And I have a lot of case studies and material that go along with this. And I've developed a process that works really well for me. So anyways, I'm gonna give you a little bit of a taste of it here. With one that I dealt with recently. I've had a surge of these lately, and some of them are pretty interesting what I end up finding out, but it's also just interesting to see the process, to walk through it. This was a 2015 Ford Transit. It was the full-size Transit, not a Connect. This one, I actually didn't get called in to do the battery draw. They had called me in to do a BCM programming. They're putting a new body control module in it. And to be quite honest, I program a lot of Ford body control modules that I don't think need to go into vehicles right now. That being said, there's plenty of Ford body control modules that do have problems, but I would say there's a good fair amount of them that I program where the old one had no issues. They get blamed for a lot of things because they operate a lot of different components. And when you have something that has multiple functions and a ton of different circuits running through it, power feeds to all kinds of things, it's on multiple networks, well, it's easy to blame because it's kind of the central hub for a lot of stuff. And I see this a lot with parasitic draws too, right? Instrument clusters and body control modules. I think I've replaced more of those that have unsuccessfully fixed a parasitic draw for a shop than anything else. I always say it's never the cluster. It's never the cluster when they call me and say, oh, I got a cluster for parasitic draw. I'm sure it is at some point, but it always seems to be something else that's keeping these things awake. Anyways, they didn't call me for a draw. They just called me, replace a body control module or program a new Ford body control module. All right, cool. I'll do that. Now, tip on these, if you're doing these body control modules, IO terminal, which has been around for a while, I've talked about before. I use a lot for GM, used cloning modules for used GM stuff, engine and trans and body. They also have a license that you can get for Ford body control modules. Now, I will caution everybody on this. That is definitely not a foolproof method. And I'm not going to go into everything here. Go take one of Mike Christofferson's classes. But I will say, if you are going original BCM to a brand new one, and you're just thinking that IO terminal is just going to clone them all with no issues, be prepared, because you are going to run into a lot of issues. And I have almost, and I'll tell you why, but almost stopped doing that specifically, going from a original used BCM to a brand new one from Ford. I have just gotten beat up on that. And I think I was a victim of early success, right? I did a handful of them. They worked great, no problems. And then, oh man, I got beat up on one after another after another. And I kept trying. So I'm like, well, something's just up with this particular car, this particular module. No. There are some issues when you try to do that cloning. I'll say on the GM side of things, IO terminal is damn near bulletproof outside of a few quirks, but the BCM thing is tricky. And so I've tried to document what works and what doesn't. If you're doing a used one and you get it out of the same vehicle, I've had really good luck there. So that's usually when I pull it out. Now, one exception is on these transits. The BCM that's used in these transits, at least this year, and then I know up to about 18, you can clone from the original one to the new BCM. One-for-one clone, absolutely no issues. In my experience, that's what it's been. And the reason that I know that is the last one that we tried to do, I think it was on an 18, we could not finish it with Ford IDS, which is what it was using. Using the factory procedure, we could not get this thing to complete. It was an issue with the security. And we tried every single tool that we could think of. We couldn't get it to go. I finally just tried cloning it. It was like my Hail Mary pass to try to get this thing to work, because it was a brand new BCM. And I didn't know where else to go. We tried it. We plugged it in. Plug and play, it worked. And so I've done that on a handful of these other ones now, and it works. So if you got a full-size transit, you got IO terminal, give it a try. Clone it over. Always save the original. I will say that. If you're going to do any of this cloning, especially if you're going to go from an original one to a new one, save that new file, because you may need to put it back in there. I know this from experience. If you try to clone one over and then you end up having issues, you can't just PMI the thing and it'll be back to normal. Nope. You've got to put it back to its version state with the same tool that you messed it up with, and then go through the factory procedure. So I'm saying that because it can become a very long, time-consuming process to make it right. And there are certain vehicles where I'm just doing it the Ford way. But in this case, it's good to have a backup, because I couldn't do it the Ford way. And So anyways, that's a really, really long story. So I apologize to tell you that I cloned this BCM on this transit because I expected it to be very straightforward and easy in a one-for-one clone. And it actually was, although I thought I had a problem. I'll tell you about that. But I cloned this thing over, put it in, started up, anti-theft's good. And the nice part about it, when you can clone, all the tire pressure sensors are programmed in, all the remotes are programmed in, all the keys are programmed in, so they don't even have to have all the keys there, right? If it would work on all of them, it would be amazing, but it doesn't. But in this case, it does, so I don't have to do any of that stuff, right? It shortens up the time on these jobs immensely when it actually works. So I was like, cool. Now, given my problems in the past and just given the fact that I want to be thorough, I go through everything on the truck interior wise that I know is tied to the body control module and just make sure everything works, right? Windows, locks, horn, radio, anything that I think might electrically be tied to the BCM. Of course, I'm going to scan it for code, stuff like that. But some of the issues that I've run into when I clone stuff is weird stuff like door locks and windows just not functioning correctly. And I'm just going through everything. I'm like, okay, let's make sure everything works. Now, I get to the radio and there's just a small display. It's kind of it's a sync system on this one. Technically has the sync, but it is a basic version. It has a real small screen up on the dash and a control panel. The radio does not work. The screen lights up, shows you the time, and the buttons, they kind of respond on the dash. When you press something, you can see like the screen flip, but the music never comes on. Doesn't matter what button you press or what you do. There's no audio and it never gives you anything on the screen indicating that it is on. And so I thought that was kind of odd. And again, I wanted to be thorough in my job. So after checking, you know, codes in the BCM, see if there's anything, I do try to communicate with the audio control module. And it was weird on this vehicle because I was using IDS. And the way IDS works is when it scans the vehicle network, it's going to give you a list of modules that communicated. It'll show you the codes. And then it will show you standard equipment modules failed, meaning that there are no comm. And then optional modules failed, meaning there were no comm, but they might not exist on this vehicle. It's like the grayed out boxes on Y-Tech. The audio control module, or ACM, which I know is the radio for just about any Ford. And now they have other players involved, like the APIM and the front interface control module and this and that. But the audio control module is like the radio. And I'm pretty sure this has one. Well, I can't talk to it. There's no comm, but it's also in the optional modules grayed out. I was like, that's kind of weird. So anyways, before I really dive into this any further, because I was just coming to program a BCM and I'm getting the feeling that something else is going on here. Is this what they were trying to fix? I don't know, but I'm going to go talk to them. So I go in the shop and say, hey, and I ask them before I tell them what's wrong. I like this shop. They're a good shop, but you know, I don't want to play all my cards right away, right? I'm going to keep something to myself and just ask, let them tell me the story before I tell them the radio's broken. Because there are people out there where as soon as I ask them, hey, did the radio work before? They'll be like, yep. So I was like, why are you guys replacing this? And he's like, oh, there's a draw on the battery. I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, did you guys happen to note the radio functional or not? And he's like, oh, no, we never really looked at it. That's not why the customer brought it here. Now, they did say this is a used car lot. They're trying to sell this vehicle. So they mentioned that. But they're like, yeah, they didn't say anything about the radio. I'm like, well, it doesn't work. And there seems potentially to be some sort of communication issue. I don't think it's related to the BCM. I'm going to double check my work, but I wanted to see if it was a pre-existing issue. He's like, well, let me call a customer. And he's a cool guy. So he calls him up and he's like, hey, you know, this vehicle, this van, we did the BCM trying to fix this draw. Cause that's what they diagnosed was the BCM was the draw. And they say, hey, did the radio work beforehand? And the customer was honest. And he says, I'm not sure. We just know that every time we go out to this thing to start it, the battery's dead. So they weren't really paying attention to the radio and they want to sell this thing again, used car lot. So he's like, okay, well, do you want us to look into it? He says, yeah, it's going to be tough to sell without the radio. And so then tells me, yeah, let's dig into it and see what's going on. All right, cool. We'll check it out. So I get more into this, and this podcast is brought to you by Jarhead Diagnostics. Jarhead Diagnostics manufactures in-house diagnostic equipment and storage solutions, as well as distributes for companies like Pico, ATS, and Topdon. One of my favorite tools that I've bought from Brandon and Jarhead Diag is the case for the U-scope. If you don't have a U-scope, you probably should, but if you have one, you got to get one of these 3D printed cases, has a magnet on it, has a full-size BNC lead that you can connect to, and it gets rid of the weak point of that scope, which is the mini BNC connection, which is pretty fragile. This case makes this thing nice and secure and makes it an even better tool than it was. So check out jarheaddiag.com. The link is in the show notes. After doing a little bit of digging on what's actually equipped on the vehicle, because the version of the audio on the vehicle will change what modules are involved, but it is a sync vehicle, which means it has an APIM, accessory protocol interface module. It has a control panel, which actually is on a Lin bus. It's not actually on the CAN. Then it has a front interface display control module. I think until the end of time, I'm going to get Ford's two modules screwed up. There's like a FCIM and an FCDIM, and I cannot for the life of me remember the difference between the two, but it's the display, the D, because it's the screen, and that one's on the CAN. And then there's the ACM, and I think the cluster was the other one that was on this same CAN network. So the vehicle has multiple networks, and the network that these modules exist on are the ICAN or the infotainment CAN. Right. And so, of course, if I'm getting into a potential communication issue, I want to know, how's this module set up on the network? What network is it on? Is my scan tool directly connected to it? What other modules are at play? Blah, blah, blah. I want to know all that stuff. And I kind of looked at the diagram and everything, but really what I was looking at, I was like, this thing does have an audio control module, right? And it does. It came equipped with one, and I actually have not seen a Ford that doesn't have an audio control module, right? It can not have all of that sync stuff, but it's going to have the ACM, which is the radio. But it shows up as not listed. And I run the vehicle through a scan again. I have ID the vehicle again, just to make sure I didn't miss anything with the body control module being weird. And it still shows up the same way. I go into my live network test, which is an awesome feature of IDS, where it'll ping all the modules. And that ACM is grayed out immediately, and probably because when IDS fires up, it does a network check, sees who's there, and it'll just kind of gray out modules that it doesn't talk to. But you can actually go, you can turn it on in that network ping test. And as soon as I turned it on, it just gave me the missing message, missing message, missing message. Can't talk to this ACM. I'm like, okay. Now what's weird is I have no communication codes in any module. And I was paying particular attention to the ones on the information CAN, but nowhere in the vehicle is there communication codes, but I don't have the ACM. I'm like, oh, this is really weird. Now, what's going through Sean's head right now? I screwed this up by cloning the BCM. That's what I was thinking. So I'm like, all right, let me put the original one back in there and see what happens. So I put the original BCM back in, plug it in. Luckily, they had the dash apart, so that wasn't too much work. And I go back through everything and ID the vehicle, all this. I even tried an aftermarket scan tool. I cannot talk to this radio, and it does not work. And I'm trying to think to myself, well, how could the body control module prevent this module from being awake and recognized on a network and keep other modules from even trying to communicate with it, right? There's no communication codes. You'd expect to see it in the APIM or the the front display module or something should have, hey, I can't talk to the ACM, which I thought was very, very strange. And so I get to the point where I'm like, well, I'm going to pop this dash panel off and, you know, obviously make sure it's plugged in, do some circuit checks, right? I have a module that I pretty sure can't communicate. But I need to do my checks at the module and see what's going on with it. Okay. And luckily it was just a little panel in the dash. Wasn't too bad to get to. So I pop that off and I get to the audio control module, which is just like a silver box behind the dash in the center there. And I'm gonna start to do my checks. And so powers, grounds, there was only a couple, and then communication. And that's it, right? There's other circuits to it, but they don't matter for what I'm trying to do here. I just want to know, is this thing have everything it needs to talk on a network and function, right? The reason I don't have any audio is because this thing is non-functional, right? And so I just happen to be on the CAN wires to make sure that I have a signal there. And I get to thinking here, right? Because I was thinking initially, well, I screwed this up by cloning, but I'm like, well, wait a second. What if this was their draw? And what I mean by that is what if there's something up with this radio where it's not functioning correctly? Like it doesn't turn on and actually function, but what if it's not shutting off either? And I just wanted to check. So I close the doors, pull the key out, and I leave my scope on the infotainment CAN. That is the CAN network that this audio control module talks on. And I just watch it for a while, right? Shut down the vehicle essentially. And I watch it and I watch it and I watch it and it never stops talking, right? I have activity on this infotainment CAN. I probably waited 15, 20 minutes playing around on my computer, just periodically glancing over at this scope pattern, and you could just see it talking, 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 talking. And I could get out of the vehicle here. Now, I should have just flipped the door switch, but I'm giving you the live version. I closed myself in the vehicle and I was just going to wait and see what happened. But I could get out of the vehicle, grab my AM clamp and go under the seat and see, oh, is there a battery draw? Well, guess what? If there's a CAN network talking, there's going to be a battery draw. And I made sure to disconnect my scan tool. You want to do that. This was not a push button start, so I'm not worried about that. This thing should have gone to sleep by now. This network should have gone to sleep. Now, I have an audio control module that doesn't function. I have a network that's awake that's connected to a module that doesn't function. Well, what happens if I unplug it? So I unplug the audio control module. Gives it maybe 10 to 15 seconds, that network goes to sleep, stops talking, and that's it. And I turn the key on and turn the key off, network talks for a little while, and then it goes to sleep. So I plug the audio control module back in, network wakes back up, starts talking, and won't go to sleep. Okay, so now I'm thinking like, well, this was their original problem. This was this audio control module, which doesn't function, which doesn't turn on, doesn't do anything, also doesn't communicate, and I say that in quotations because it actually is, it's talking on the network. Now, here's the weird thing, and I don't really have anything to prove this with, but I'm wondering if there was no communication codes set in other modules that pointed the finger at the ACM, because maybe it was talking on some level with the other modules. Obviously, something was going out on the network. It wasn't enough to have the scan tool identify the module, but it must have been enough to satisfy the other modules in the network. Say, yep, ACM's there. What do you want me to do? And so we didn't get any communication codes, but we couldn't talk to it with the scan tool. And again, I verified that there's no circuits keeping it awake. There wasn't much on this thing, right? It doesn't have any direct inputs as far as switches or anything goes. Just verifying powers and grounds are what they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be. And there was no question when I disconnected it, it stopped the network from talking. Now, what I found interesting about this fan, because I did check it, that the infotainment CAN was the only one that was awake. And I've run into some other vehicles where that have multiple networks. And this one does this, three networks on this thing, three CAN networks that go to some gateway modules that'll share networks. And when you have one network awake, it wakes up all of the networks. Wasn't the case on this one, actually. And I just happened to note that the infotainment can was the only one waking up here. Now, I've actually seen other Fords where you can have one network come awake and then everything else wakes up along with it. But this one was not that case. And I'm wondering if it has to do with which network wakes up first, whether it will wake the other ones up or not. Does the infotainment can have less priority? Whereas the medium speed or the high speed can waking up, would that wake up everything? I don't know. It's just an interesting note, and I might take a look more at it in the future. But I didn't experiment with it too much on this one. I was pretty dialed in on, okay, I know this is the fix. This is the problem here. And we know it's causing the draw because a network that continues to communicate and continues to put out messages on the bus, that is going to keep several modules awake. And it can be real tricky to identify and to narrow down. Now, this one, I luckily had a symptom to draw me towards the failed component, but we don't always have that. Sometimes there's modules that stay awake for various reasons and there are no symptoms involved. And so that's kind of what I'll be talking about in my class that I'm doing in Australia is, okay, well, maybe we've identified, well, how do we identify that the network is what is causing the draw? And then what do we do with that information after we have it? Right. That's the tricky part. So, I'm not going to go into too much more depth on this one because I didn't even really approach this one initially as a parasitic draw, but ended up finding out that, hey, this radio that I just happened to notice wasn't working after my part was done ended up being the cause of their draw. And they didn't need to replace the BCM. I let them handle that however they wanted to, but I told them, I was like, you can plug in either BCM right now and there'll be no difference to the truck, but you need this audio control module, not only for the audio, but for the draw. And they were happy to have a solution to the vehicle. So anyways, hopefully you learned something from that. Hopefully that's helpful information regarding parasitic draws, the audio system on the Fords, or cloning of BCMs. But anyways, I'd like to thank everybody out there for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. But let's get out there, start fixing the world one car at a time. We'll be right back.